You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week is Justin Davis,
Scoop.
Sam Claiborne,
Scoop.
And Philip Musin is returning once again.
What's up?
Welcome back. We've got a great show for you this week. We got to talk about Wolfenstein. Mm-hmm. We got to talk about ukulele. But first, let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Yeah.
You're flip-flopping all around over here.
You know, it's the giving season. Mm. It's that time of year.
I see.
Time to give back to
What's
the
this?
Listeners. That's not for now.
Okay.
Hold
all
on.
All right.
Getting ahead of ourselves.
What's this?
Listeners, remember you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com, just like Kevin did.
Hey, Kevin.
Kevin says, hey, Omega Cops. Thanks for the laughs and great gaming opinions for my commute into Philly every day. It becomes...
From where?
Comes clear. You make it much more joyful. From Seattle.
Probably. Short for Philadelphia.
Here's my question.
Geography joke.
Here's my question. What games were perfect for the college dorm room? I'm 24, went to Penn State, and the games I loved playing between dorm rooms on a weeknight were FIFA, Madden, NHL for the most part. Or when we were in apartments, we'd play Halo 3 or fighting games like Mortal Kombat X or Injustice. In your experience, what were the games to be playing in college?
It was those exact games, NHL, yeah. Mortal Kombat,
well,
Halo.
Kevin nailed it.
Yeah. It was just like 10 generations ago of those games, right?
GoldenEye, depending on how old you are.
Yeah, well, yeah. So if you're as old as I am, I entered college in 1996, and Super Mario Brothers, or just Super Mario 64, that was a big game. It actually helped me make friends in college because like that game was a really big deal at the time. Mm-hmm. It was groundbreaking. It was unbelievable to people. It was many people's first experience into 3D games.
Did you live in a dorm?
Yeah, I was in the dorm, and I was the only one that had a 64 and Mario 64.
And did you have like a tiny television in your dorm room?
Yep, I had a tiny little, that was up in the top of my closet.
Yeah.
So we'd sit like on the floor on beanbags and play Mario 64, and everybody thought
But people would come by your dorm room and say like, can I see the game?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Like I said, it was great for meeting people in college.
Yeah, for sure.
I would say that, in general, the Nintendo 64 was an awesome system to have in college.
Yeah.
From GoldenEye.
Yep.
Because it had four players possible. Before that,
deal.
You had to buy something. You know, that was a nice thing to have.
And Perfect Dark was an even bigger game with me and my friends than GoldenEye was. I would say like that period, the 64-bit period, was probably the golden age of local co-op. Because like the NES had two players, but with the N64 made four players commonplace. And then when I got the PlayStation 2, there were lots of games that were really fun to play in dorm rooms. Just like Tomb Raider, because it was like a really big new third, you know, 3D adventure game that was still seemed very novel to people at the time.
Was that for the first Tomb Raider?
Like yeah, like the first Tomb Raider.
Obviously not multiplayer, but it's a fun, games like, didn't you tell me that your wife likes to watch you play like Resident Evil and
exactly,
like
that stuff. And Tomb Raider, we would like all take turns playing, you know, play until you die, then pass the controller.
Oh yeah, because really there were like save points and dying, you could die over and over again. Mario 64 is like that too, right?
Yeah.
It's like if you fail, you're kicked out of the level and you have to start again.
Yeah.
There are like so many great couch co-op games, even just modern games that you can get now and like play in college. Like for instance, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, like Mario Kart.
Still Mario Kart.
Yeah. Has still always been a classic like couch co-op game. For me, I played a ton of that with my friends, like split screen and stuff like that. But other fighting games come to mind too. Like even something like Injustice 2 makes a lot of sense. It's a great fighting game as well. Or ARMS back to like Nintendo stuff would be fun as well.
ARMS is not fun.
You don't think so? I like ARMS when I'm playing it next to somebody. Like playing it online
as a fighting
game.
That makes total sense. Yeah. Yeah, it's just a single player.
But like that's what I'm thinking is just way more like, you know, like when you're next to somebody.
One person gets so much better at ARMS so fast that like I guess that's all fighting games.
Yeah. It's usually not me, that person.
Yeah. Same. That's what makes it frustrating.
I was obviously many years out of college, but Nidhogg, I suspect, would have been a good just the way the tug and push and pull of that game feels like it would have been a great fit for that.
You know, I've played towards the end of my college days a lot that's still around a lot as party games, and like Mario Party was big because Mario Party is different and like not encouraging the use of drugs or alcohol, but like when you're drinking and playing Mario Party, it is more fun, right? Because it's like a simple game. Plus, you're not going to like get worse at it because like
it doesn't require like a fighting game like Injustice. Yeah, it's great. Sit and focus on the game and compete. But Mario Party, like you can leave, you can walk up and leave and come back and then still pick the game back
up.
And
so when friends were over and maybe we were, you know, drinking and having pizza and stuff, we'd play Mario Party because we'd get too mad at each other when we were playing Mario Kart.
Yeah, there are some games
I really like Mario Party for that.
Easier to play when you're intoxicated, I guess. But I don't know.
Guitar.
Mario Party is definitely one of those games for me. I don't know, but I also played a lot of Worms too.
I love Worms.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, I love that series. I feel like they haven't like they put out a new game every two or three years, but they can't ever really like
break through anymore. Like
They always kind of feel kind of clunky. I wish they'd make a new good Worms game. I'm waiting for that.
Make it good.
There's a new. I think there's a new one available this month on
Switch,
on PS Plus,
and PS Plus. Yeah,
but it's just
Switch is just like every game on Earth. It's like Switch is a great platform.
It's funny to think of like party games that will probably never come back. Like I know there was like kind of like land-based PC games when I was in school that were like those wouldn't be cool anymore. But man, like Rock Band, I don't think that'll ever come back. And I have like the fondest memories.
They tried
of playing Rock Band.
Rock Band 4 and Guitar Hero 4, right?
It's not working.
I never lived the dorm life.
You're not about that life.
Yeah. Well, I would have been. I went to community college. I went to community college, and then I had a chance to transfer to a 4-year school, and I got offered a full-time job writing about games.
Yeah, so I think I had 1 year in dorms, but like I played at friends' houses.
I snuck into my girlfriend's dorm. Does that count?
That counts, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, what games did you guys play in her dorm?
Well, I know you're saying it as a joke, but we played a lot of Donkey Konga.
Donkey Konga?
Donkey Konga, a lot.
A lot, wow.
And Bust a Move.
Did you play Jungle Beat at all?
I didn't actually like Jungle Beat that much, which I know is like sacrilege for some people. But
well, Conga was like at a music game popularity point. It was another music game.
I had both sets of Conga drums. We went really ham on Donkey Konga.
Never played Donkey Konga.
Dude, it's great. Maybe it's not. I don't know. In my head, it's great.
There was also a racing game.
With the Conga drums?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah, it was right at the end of it. But Conga was just songs. It was like pop music, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if we can have this conversation, though, without mentioning Halo Combat Evolved.
Yeah.
Like that is like the ultimate sort of like multiplayer land party.
Hit in my dorm era for sure.
Yeah. Lots of that. I mean, even I don't know how much it holds up in modern times, like it was forever ago. But like, I don't know, in the last, I want to say 5-10 years with all the new Halo releases, but I still feel like that's such a classic game that you could bust out.
And it used to have co-op and split screen, which is like the coolest thing when you don't, you know, you have people over, you could still play through like Legendary and co-op.
Yeah.
That was so fun in like dorm situations. I love that.
So what were you doing with the first Halo? Were you guys setting up LAN parties in your dorm? Like were you connecting?
People did that. I didn't play Halo.
You didn't do that. Okay.
Yeah. I did a little bit of it was actually called Xbox Connect, I believe, like the old school online way.
You drag them out and network them together.
Yeah.
Or as Sam said, you could just do the split screen.
Yeah, and split screen was really popular.
That was a lot funner, I think, doing split screen. Like those legendary runs were.
You know what else was really popular is DDR. Like when the Mac really came out.
I just feel like it takes so much space though.
I know, but like that was, or SingStar, is that what it was called?
The PlayStation one.
Yeah. Like those were ones that, I mean, that I think when there was a group of like equal girls and guys, those games were much more popular than like playing other. And then Mario Kart was too.
We
were playing shooters, it would, usually at that time, like the girls that were playing with us that were like, you know, it wouldn't be as a big of a mix of 50-50 in that situation.
We went through a phase, and it's a phase, I think like for 6 months, me and my like college friends, when we like had apartments and stuff like that, we had a NES and a track and field mat. And so we would just compete in track and field. And the mat's like tiny. Like when you're a little kid, it doesn't feel like it, but it's made for small children. And like we are grown men just like stomping on this mat, trying to long jump as like far as we can.
Really making like the people below
power
you
pad?
Yeah.
Mad at you.
That's how big is it bigger than like a Wii balance board?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like it's a bit like, you know, it's a, maybe 3 feet.
Also,
it's just not meant for adults.
Dude, WarioWare had such good party games at the time, too.
Yeah, the GameCube one, Micro Mega.
Those
games,
are like Mega Mario Parties, but good.
Sam, what about the 80s NES game show games?
Oh my gosh.
Those would be really good.
I still play those. Yeah, Family Feud is really, really good. You have to guess answers from 1988, 89. Those are really fun. What do you think people played in the dorms in the 80s? Super Mario Brothers, 80s. Mario 3, that kind of thing.
Yeah, if they had an NES.
Board games.
D&D, play some D&D.
Yeah, maybe.
Or if they had
NHL, I know, was of a previous generation. Like the big kids in the early 90s were playing NHL 93 and 94.
On Genesis or
what? Yeah, those were so popular. Those are in movies and stuff because they're so popular.
I mean, it's definitely like sports games are just a blind spot for me personally, not really into them. But I always think about them in the context of like, you know, they have campaign modes now, right? And they have these big online, you know, FIFA Ultimate Team is this gigantic billion-dollar online business. But it's easy to forget that they probably sell millions of copies just to people that are going to play with their buddy in their dorms or, you know, the apartment that they share.
Yeah.
Like that's still a really big part of those games.
Yeah. Speaking of NHL, my dad is not a gamer. There's only been two or three games he's ever really played his whole life. But he loves hockey, and he really liked NHL. So like when I was in high school, I guess, every so often it'd be Friday night, and he'd be like, okay, we're going to rent a Genesis. I'm going to rent NHL.
Nice.
You pick a game. I'm going to play NHL till I go to bed, and then it's all yours.
Sounds like a dad
That's
thing
really
to
cool. Yeah. Did he play Blades of Steel and stuff like that when those
He just played the NHL games. On NES, he played Galaga. Mm. He played a lot of Galaga, and we got the Advantage arcade stick just so he could play
feel
Galaga.
Like a good arcade experience.
And then he and I together would play Kings of the Beach, the volleyball game.
I've never played that game. I remember the art very well.
You can play on the same team.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? So it's a co-op against the computer, basically?
Yeah, it's pretty good. So many good memories of playing games in college. Moving on, this is the Brazilian guy in Rio de Janeiro.
That's actually as I peek over at your paper. That's just his name, the Brazilian guy.
Yep.
Got it.
His Christian name. Mm-hmm. He says, I have a question to make about Wolfenstein. I haven't played either Wolfenstein New Order nor Old Blood. I don't want to rush it and just jump into the new Colossus, but on the other hand, it's not easy to find copies of Wolfenstein the New Order where I live, not in America.
Oh, cool.
Could I expect that Bethesda will release in the future a compilation game with the three games, or at least two, New Order and New Colossus together? Some companies often do this type of games, like Take-Two, for example. They gave us the Bioshock Collection and the Handsome Collection. So does Bethesda usually do this type of thing? Yes. Brazilian guy, I think you will be in luck. First of all, the Wolfenstein 2-pack is already a thing.
No, but that isn't the 2-pack. The 2-pack is the New Order and Old Blood.
Yes. So I'm just saying that already exists.
Yeah.
So Bethesda has certainly demonstrated an interest in re-releasing its games. So
I'm confused. Which of those two are the full game?
So the original, first of all, Wolfenstein's been rebooted like 3 times. So it's confusing. But like modern Wolfenstein, what we think about as Wolfenstein today, last generation, there's a game called The New Order. And then they did a standalone expansion called The New Blood.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay.
And so that's like
confused because I didn't think this was the third.
The New Blood's the equivalent of, the Uncharted 4 standalone expansion or any of those standalone expansions. And now Wolfenstein 2 is the one that's out now. So the 2-pack isn't Wolf and Wolf 2.
No, but it is.
It's Wolf 1 and its expansion.
New Order and New Blood. Yeah. Right?
You guys know when the first Wolfenstein game came out?
The original Wolf?
Yeah.
93?
1984.
No.
Anybody? So Castle Wolfenstein is 1981. Castle.
Oh, you mean, well, okay. But I,
isn't that crazy though?
I know, yeah, but it's not the same. It's not the same.
I thought you meant Wolf 3D.
But Wolfenstein 3D was based on Castle Wolfenstein 81. That, I think that's crazy that the Wolfenstein has been around for
I wasn't that far.
This is true. Like
Wolfenstein's as old as me.
I didn't even know we were going to be talking about this on Scoop, but I'm playing through Wolfenstein now, and I was on the Wolfenstein Wikipedia page. No.
No.
I'm playing through the New Order.
Okay.
And so I was on the Wikipedia page reading about the very original, 1981, like very early primitive PC game Wolfenstein. And the reason Wolfenstein 3D exists is because, you know, id Software, like John Carmack and Romero, were like, wouldn't it be cool to make this a Wolfenstein game? They're like, we can't call it that. We have to call it something else. But like the company just didn't exist anymore. So they just cowboyed it and did it. They're like, ah, it'll be fine. We'll just call it Wolfenstein. That company is defunct. Yeah. And then they got away with it.
Yeah.
I'll have to fact check that. That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, that's what Wikipedia says. So
no one, and after the fact, no one came around saying, hey, that was actually our game.
They greatly respected that Wolfenstein game, though. Like, I know there's levels that are based on the first Wolfenstein in 1981, and there was a sequel to that also, is a top down game.
Stealth game.
It's like a room by room, and you get like treasure chests and you fight Nazis and stuff. And they saw that, and they're like, this will look great in 3D. We'll just kind of make this game we all love. And pop, you know, you can make the same levels because you remember the old 3D style is like a top-down maze, right? Mm-hmm. Like a mouse maze or something. Yeah.
And then they totally stripped out all like the stealth parts, and it became more and more like action-oriented as they were developing it.
Yeah, I could see Bethesda doing like a collection eventually for Wolfenstein, but at the same time, we still have New Colossus coming out on Switch sometime, hopefully next year. So I think that that's going to have to happen first before we get like a complete sort of collection. Unless there's maybe even a third game. I actually haven't even played New Colossus, so I don't know.
I haven't either, but I want to. I hear such good things.
Yeah, I'm waiting to play it on Switch. That's where I want my first kind of impression.
It's supposed to be early 2018, I think they said.
Okay.
Is that right?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. So.
Did you know id was like a different name? It was like Ideas from the Deep, and then they shortened it to id.
Ideas from the Deep.
I think that's what it was. That makes sense. Yeah, it's definitely shortened.
Ideas from the Deep is a pretty good name.
I hope that whole anecdote I just told isn't true, but that is what I read.
You hope it isn't true?
Is true. Okay. But I
bet they got permission eventually.
Well,
maybe.
Okay, so
could be apocryphal, I guess.
Muse made the first Wolfenstein. I know that, and that stood for something too.
The Brazilian guy, the Wolfenstein 2-pack is already a thing. It includes the New Order and the Old Blood, and then obviously Bethesda just re-released Skyrim on Switch. They just put out Skyrim VR. So
if there's one company you can trust to do a Game of the Year edition, an HD edition, a revised edition, it's probably Bethesda.
Even if it's a couple of years from now, I wouldn't be at all surprised if there's a Wolfenstein pack that puts all three of those games together.
Do you think you can't get that? I would like to know. Maybe you can write back that guy from Brazil, is that what it was?
The Brazilian guy.
And tell us why it's hard to get that other Wolfenstein. I didn't know if it was because of like local censorship, which is a possibility.
Yeah.
Or something else.
I know
that's right. You reminded me. The point I was gonna make. It is on Steam. So if you're a console player, you know, I completely understand maybe it's hard to find. But if you have a PC, and it wouldn't need to be crazy powerful because it is a last generation game, you can think about getting it on digital PC platforms.
The first game.
Well, the New Blood.
The New Blood. game in this series.
Are you planning on playing through the Old Blood as well?
Excuse me. Old Blood.
No. Yes. So we keep getting New Order, Old Blood, New Colossus.
And it's even more confusing because like Return to Castle Wolfenstein had a sequel just called Wolfenstein in the late 2000s.
I think there was more than one Wolfenstein in the 2000s, weren't there?
Yeah, there was. But the sequel was called Wolfenstein.
Is it always BJ?
Yeah.
Did you guys play Return to Castle Wolfenstein?
Mm-mm.
The 90s or late 2000s one?
Yeah, that one.
And they did the multiplayer only one? No, I didn't.
That one was really good.
It was multiplayer only?
No, it wasn't multiplayer only. There was a really good single player for Return to Castle Wolfenstein, but then there was...
Wolfenstein Enemy Territory was multiplayer only, I think.
Yeah, I believe so. But the Return to Castle Wolfenstein's like Xbox Live multiplayer in particular was amazing at the time. Mm. It was like revolutionary because that was really at the time that we had first seen Xbox Live appear in like, you know, or online console gamings or gaming like actually come to fruition in an intelligible way. And it just seemed good. It seemed like a really great game. I played like probably, I don't know, 6 months straight of that game. Wow. So
you guys, you know, Wolfenstein invented microtransactions.
That's true. Yeah.
Shareware.
It's a fact.
That was a real thing. It was free.
It did help popularize
and you had to
shareware.
Buy expansions.
I don't know if it was the first shareware game.
Yeah, that's a good point, but it popularized it.
Yeah.
That was a really popular shareware game. And then Doom was so popular.
That's why I remember
you
going
just
into
play
like,
the whole game for free.
I remember going to into Babbage's or Electronics Boutique, and at the register there were just free copies of
Discs
of
for free?
Discs for Doom.
That's so
it had like
cool.
the first three levels on
See,
it.
I only got copies.
That's how they get that's how they get you.
I think that was you got the whole first episode model, free. Yeah. Like I think it was very generous. Yeah, but then if you wanted the other three fourths of the game,
that's really cool. I wish I had one of those retail packages.
Take one, they're free. Moving on, this is Ray from Albany, New York. He says, hey, Damon and the gang. I am troubled and hoping you can help. Ray is troubled.
Well,
he says, at work, we earn points that we can cash in to get free stuff.
Do you work for a skee-ball company?
Do you work for Tom Nook?
Appliances, knickknacks, etc. And I have enough points to get a free Nintendo Switch.
What?
Wow.
I'm seriously thinking about it, but I'm torn. I already own Breath of the Wild for the Wii U, and though I'm interested in playing Mario Odyssey, that's the only game I'm interested in. I don't know if it's worth it only for that. I've never been much of a handheld gamer, and I don't travel much, so I'm worried I won't be making use of a major feature of the console. Should I take it while I can, or should I wait until the Switch game library grows?
Well, Ray, I have good news for you. More games are going to come out for the Nintendo Switch in the future.
Are you sure?
Yeah, confirmed.
Okay.
Scoop.
There's so many good indie games, but Philip, you can take this one.
Yeah, that's a great question.
I wish we knew what he liked, though, so we could recommend some games.
You know, there are a ton of great games on the Switch right now. I mean, I honestly have been playing through a ton of Xenoblade recently, and I can't talk much about it right now. But
I think
you
can because the embargo is tomorrow.
Oh, it is?
And when will this
That's
go
true,
up?
Yeah.
I love when we have these conversations on the air.
Yeah.
Pros.
The audio would have gone up tonight, but if you have something juicy to say, I could wait for the embargo tomorrow morning.
Are you going to make the listeners wait?
It's not too juicy. I mean, I guess we can decide if it's spoilery. I don't think it's too spoilery, but
No spoilers.
Yeah, absolutely. No spoilers. But I've played a fair bit amount of the game, like 10 hours of the game so far, and I'm somebody who really does appreciate RPGs, not so much JRPGs. I lean more towards like Western RPGs, but this game is great. I mean, it's really a lot of... There's a lot to this game. There's a lot going on in here. And if you are even remotely a fan of RPGs, I highly recommend at least experiencing it, you know, once, or at least trying it out, and seeing if you're like willing to commit to a big game like that. But as far as like indie titles on the Switch go, there are some really good ones that
Snipperclips, Battleship Brigade, people are freaking out over.
Yeah, Golf Story.
Golf Story. You can't play them for the most part in other places. But
Battleshell is on Steam, several are it's Switch exclusive.
Yeah, and then there's a bunch of things that are nice indie games from other consoles that if you miss them, like Switch has a bunch of them
Stardew
now.
Stardew Valley.
Yeah, it's considered.
Yeah, I mean, I get the Switch, man. The Switch is awesome.
Ray from Albany, New York, sounds great. He has the opportunity to get a free Switch, and he's like, I don't know.
Well, and also,
the Switch is so cool.
He says he got Breath of the Wild on Wii U, which is a good point. Like, that's the best game on the Switch you've already played. But if you're a big enough Nintendo fan to have owned a Wii U, like the Switch is a much better console than the Wii U. So,
and Mario Odyssey is amazing. I know Sam doesn't like it, but I think
I don't like it, but I did 100%.
And Mario plus Rabbids is really good.
That's true. I am a huge fan of that game.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
Forget about that.
I'd be interested in that.
I almost bought it for $30 on Black Friday.
Oh, that's a good deal.
But then I didn't. Good story, Justin.
Yeah, I know a lot of people look at the Switch primarily as a handheld console. Like, I play a lot of the Switch in handheld mode, but I definitely think it holds its own as a home console as well. Like, it's totally worth it if you choose to only play on the TV. There's a lot of great games on there, especially ones that are exclusive to the Switch, like Mario Odyssey. In my opinion, is a system seller alongside Breath of the Wild. Even if you already like have it on Wii U, having it on the Switch, you know, to be able to play it portably in case you ever do travel is pretty cool.
It's got the best version of Mario Kart 8.
Right, absolutely,
super good.
So,
to me, this is a no-brainer.
Yeah,
take the Switch.
I also play Switch in handheld mode in my house almost every night.
I just wonder what else he can get with his points, because that's
it's
what
like
we need
yeah
to know.
What's the other
we
like
need to
a
know.
Walkman
yeah
you know, like I don't
Walkman.
Like,
that'd be cool. What about
why is that where your mind went?
What about like a big boombox?
A big boombox.
Yeah, you could probably get more enjoyment out of that.
What's wrong with you?
What year is it?
Is that record player?
Yeah,
yeah.
Lawn darts.
Lawn darts.
Ray, take the Switch. Make the Switch.
But if they have lawn darts, get the lawn darts.
That's fact. I would second that.
Let's talk about a bit of news this week. Speaking of Switch news this week, Yooka-Laylee is finally coming to Switch on December 14th.
Finally, a 3D platformer.
Yeah, well, this is an interesting case. This is some 6 months after it came to other consoles and PC. It was delayed. It was originally supposed to come to the Wii U, and then they have decided to abandon that version and just bring it to the Switch, and that made some people upset because they already had their Wii U, and it, you know,
because it was a Kickstarter promise.
Yeah, it was a Kickstarter promise. Yeah, but the Playtonic, the developer, says this is going to be the most optimized version of the game because it's going to have the benefit of all the enhancements and updates that have since come to the other platforms. They're going to be there on day one for the Switch. It will also include single Joy-Con play across all 8 multiplayer games. A couple of quotes about the game from the developers, from writer and communications director Andy Robinson. People playing it for the first time will be getting it with this huge roster of updates, which have all been based on feedback from the other versions. There's new pause music, a whole new camera mode, a whole load of design polish. There's a lot of optimization.
You guys may laugh at the pause music thing, but Battletoads, which is made by Rare, has some really good really good music.
And Banjo-Kazooie.
You can tweak the audio. You can skip through the text if you want. So IGN gave this game a 7 earlier this year. Marty Sliva, reviewed this game.
Friend of the show.
Now, 6 months later, friend of the show, Marty Sliva. 6 months later, now it's coming to the Switch, a system that we have all been professing our love for. What are our thoughts on Yooka-Laylee? Are we interested in playing this now?
If only it was able to come a little sooner. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, since
before October 27th?
Yeah, specifically October 27th, because Mario Odyssey is so great, and it continues to be great even after you complete the main story. So it's really difficult to just play a game like Mario Odyssey and then go and play something like Yooka-Laylee like only a month later, a couple weeks later. Mm-hmm. So I definitely still think Yooka-Laylee is a great game. From what I've played of it, I haven't played too much of it on PS4, but I think that it's better late than never because it is such a desired game. They're living up to their promise of delivering it from, you know, the Kickstarter perspective of things. And it's kind of funny, I think, that it's actually going to be the more polished version of the game itself. It kind of makes me wonder, are we going to see a patch update for the other counterparts as well? Mm. And also I heard that it's actually running at 900p docked and 600p undocked, but it'll scale up to the Switch's native resolution at 1080p and then 720p undocked, 1080p docked, 720p undocked. So there are certain things, like they're doing some background magic, I guess, programming to make that game like the most polished version of it on Switch. So I'm just curious to see how the final product is actually going to look.
Yeah. Sam, what do you think?
I mean, I've always wanted to play this game, and I wanted to wait till Switch, and I'll still play it on the Switch. Mm. I need to figure out like the 30 games I want to play and see where it goes in that order. But I'm such a big fan of these guys and their game development. I want to support them. I supported the Kickstarter, and I got a copy of the game, and I still haven't played it because I want to play it on the Switch.
You got a copy?
So I'm going to buy a second copy.
You got a copy for what platform?
Xbox. Mm.
Yeah, like for me, I was really excited for this because I love Banjo-Kazooie. But then when it came out, it like got seven from IGN and many, many other
which is still
outlets.
Good.
It's of course it's good.
And
but
if
it's
you
like,
read it, Marty's review, he has a problem with like the lack of levels, and then like one level is specifically bad. Mm. And so like I figure if I play 75% of that game, I now know how to get the best enjoyment out of it. Yeah, whereas true. He didn't. So like I think that's a really cool way to look at it. And I'm such a big fan of Banjo-Kazooie that I have to play this game. I mean, it's okay. A spiritual successor.
So here's what we'll do. You play it, mm-hmm. and then tell me if I should play it.
All right, deal. Gotcha.
That sounds like a plan.
And play A Hat in Time. I want to play through that one over Christmas.
I have to play Battle Chef and Stardew on my Switch also. And is Hat in Time on Switch?
I don't know. I'm going to play it on Steam.
I know it's at least coming to consoles.
I'm just trying to plan, like, I think I'll only play Switch on my vacation. You know, like, I'll just bring it. I'm leaving town.
No, I see what's confusing. That, I only brought up A Hat in Time because it's another, like, tier below Mario 3D mascot platformer.
Yeah,
it's definitely coming to Switch.
Yeah, I don't know any details on that.
Yeah. Yooka-Laylee is out on Switch on December 14th. It's time to share what we've been playing. Who would like to go first?
What games we're gaming?
Yeah, the games are gaming.
Gosh, we've been gaming so many games.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Left or right?
I'll go first. So I just finished my review for Resident Evil Revelations 2 on Switch.
Oh, nice. Boy.
Yeah, so if you haven't...
Is 1 on Switch also?
Yeah, it actually, if you buy the physical version...
That's what I saw, so yeah, okay.
It comes, yeah, it comes as a two-pack, so you get both if you buy the physical, but you can buy them individually digital as well, which
is... a lot of evil.
Yeah, it's a lot of evil for a bargain price as well. I think it's $40 for
both
games.
That's not a bargain price.
Yeah. Well, for both games, and then $20 if you buy them individually. You can get them a la carte online, which is pretty cool. Yeah. I've only played Revelations 2. I didn't play the original one on Switch. But from my experience with it, it's a really great game. It's a lot of fun. Just the load times are like atrocious in that game. It's like a minute 45 to load into anything.
That's part of the horror.
Yeah, that's part of the horror.
Remember when people used to say that about Resident Evil?
The
load times used to be that the doors, and then stairs are really silly too. One stair at a time.
Yeah.
You go off them, but yeah, that was like to build tension.
Yeah, it's like every door in the game is that initial load screen. It just takes forever to get
through. Is it on doors where you have?
No, okay. It's not.
That'd be funny.
Just that initial load when you start the game between each chapter. But I mean, it's great. I gave it 7.5, so I think it's good. It's good, not great. It's good. But that and Xenoblade, obviously, which I mentioned before.
Cool.
You're not reviewing Xenoblade for us.
No.
But you are just playing some of it.
Playing a ton of it, yeah.
Resident Mr. Nintendo, we call you.
Mm-hmm.
Resident Mr. Nintendo. Like Revelations.
2.
Sam, what you been playing?
So I played Doki Doki Literature Club, which a lot of people here are playing. It's going around the office. People like it a lot as a silly twist to a visual novel game. It's cool. Then I played a little bit of Assassin's
Silly.
Creed.
A lot of people describe it as though it's deeply disturbing. You didn't think it was disturbing?
No, it's like a cool. It's like a bunch of gameplay jokes.
Okay, all right.
I mean, it's like it deals with like violent themes and stuff, but it also it's like the twist is more about it being a video game. I would say
it breaks the fourth wall.
Okay, all right.
I played a little bit of Assassin's Creed, but I didn't continue with that. And then I 100%ed Mario, and then I started Persona 5.
Wow.
So that's what I've been playing. But it was over the long break, right? Persona's really cool. I like Persona.
Persona is very cool.
It's a fun game. And then it has, I would say, on the disturbing side, that game's far more disturbing than Doki Doki Literature Club.
Interesting.
There's a lot of like teenage sex stuff that's really uncomfortable. And I feel like that they did not localize it very well in that sense.
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, they're actually, I don't think it's like... I don't know.
Kamoshida sucks.
But
I don't know.
But how are you any better?
It's like a villain.
I mean, like your main characters are constantly saying the same stuff he says about that girl, and she has like upsetting physics and her costumes and stuff. She's like super sexualized. She's a teenager, and that's the whole point of looking down on what's his name, Kamoshida, that he's sexualizing a teenager.
But he's a teacher.
It's like, well,
he's
putting me in the same place as like this character that doesn't have a name. I don't know. It's all silly.
I don't think the main character.
I like the game.
The main character doesn't hardly say anything. The character you play.
You can choose dialogue that
well,
would.
So that's on you, Sam.
Yeah, I did not. And then I also don't like how people say the B word a lot and swear. It just seems like it's localized kind of for teenagers who like the idea of swearing and vulgarity a little bit more than it's actually used.
Would you say it's distastefully used?
Yeah, I think it's distastefully used.
Yeah.
But aside from that, it's a really fun JRPG, and I like that part of it.
It's got a very cool style.
If you don't know what Persona is, nobody explained what Persona is to me. And just real quick, I like it because it's the overworld of the JRPG, of the RPG, is a visual novel about high school or middle school, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then a little bit of like exploring a town, and then you go into dungeons. I think that's really clever.
Yeah.
What a cool mashup.
The more you play, it becomes more and more life simmy as well, like choosing how to spend your day and stuff like that. Like that's the element of the game that actually appeals to me more so than the JRPG side.
Yeah, I would agree with that, actually. Yeah. I've been playing a lot of Battle Chef Brigade on Switch. It's a very cool game. It's sort of an action puzzle game. It's like Food Wars, if you ever watched the anime Food Wars. It's basically that turned into a video game where you're attending an elite chef school and you have to engage in battles with the other chef students to see who can come out on top.
Match 3 puzzler. Right?
And the battle system of the cooking battles are played through a match 3 system. And then you're given like a recipe or like a key ingredient to use in your recipe. And then the judges have certain... like flavor profiles that they're looking for. Mm. So you have to go out and hunt all of your ingredients and then cook something that's going to give you the best score so you win the duel.
So tell me, I mean, I know the chef theme very well integrated. Yeah. It sounds like very clever, yeah. But gameplay wise, like how is it similar? Compare and contrast it to me with Puzzle Quest, a game that I spent, you know, 50 plus hours with.
Oh, the big difference is that it's timed. You're given a certain time limit to make.
So it's like a frenzy
to make the best meal you can. You have like
run out and hunt the food.
Exactly, you have to hunt all your food first, and it starts out like 2 minutes, but then you know later on in the game you get like 10 minutes, and you have to create 3 different dishes for 3 different judges. It's really cool. It's really fun. So far, I feel like I've put a lot into it, and I feel like I'm nearing the end, and the game is very restrictive. It's on like a day system, like Persona, actually, where you wake up in the morning, you can talk to people in town, and then you do one duel, and then you go to bed and do that again. And I was waiting for the game to really open up and let me travel wherever I wanted and just play play the game, the duels as much as I wanted to, but the game hasn't done that yet, so I don't. Maybe it will eventually. I was kind of waiting for that to happen, but it's still a very cool game with very cool, awesome artwork, like an anime-style artwork, and just
is it better
fun
than,
story.
Than Bejeweled, do you think?
It's better than Bejeweled, yeah. I'm willing to go on the record and say that it's better than Bejeweled.
I'm going to put that in the box, on the box.
I played a little bit of...
That's a great box quote. Get that box quote, I support it.
I played a little bit of Bejeweled 2 on the plane this weekend, and man, that game sucks.
What?
I can't believe, maybe it was because I was playing it on a monitor on the back of a plane
dude,
seat.
What? But that's still, such an important detail.
It's still the same game, and it's like, I can't believe I thought this was fun.
They have Doom on those monitors, and it would be so terrible. One of the greatest games ever made.
No, they didn't have Doom on those monitors. I wish they did.
I think they do.
Was it actually Bejeweled, or was it something else?
It was Bejeweled 2.
Yeah.
And I think if you go back to it now, we've advanced too far.
You sure
and
it wasn't
the
like
original?
A
no, it was Bejeweled 2. PopCap's logo was
not
on it.
Published by JetBlue or anything.
I don't
like
think
that.
The original Bejeweled 2 is a very fun game today.
After, oh, man.
You don't know. When was the last time you played it? A million years ago. Okay. Play it tonight and let me know how much fun you had.
I'm not going to do that. I'm bouncing around between 3 games right now, and they actually complement each other really well. So, and they're all weird, by the way. I've been playing Assassin's Creed and other modern contemporary games, but I'm playing through Wolfenstein The New Order, which is not the new Wolfenstein. That's the one from 3 years ago. Mm. And that's because I was going to start Wolf 2, but I never went through New Order.
That's smart.
So I bopped it down to easy, and I'm just trying to blast through it.
Isn't the hideout stuff cool in that game?
Yeah, I think easy is the right difficulty to play since it's a story-based game, and it's all just a power fantasy anyway, like just mowing down Nazis as fast and as violently as you can. So why try to challenge yourself as you're doing that? And you still have to be, there's still a threat. So it's like, I'm very pleased to be playing that game on a little bit easier difficulty, and that game's great.
Yeah,
which I know it's years old. Like everyone's like, yeah, Justin, thanks for catching up. But yeah, I'm finally right there with you all. I slept on it the first time around. I started Animal Crossing Pocket Camp.
So that came out while I was out of town.
I was disappointed with it. It feels a little soulless and a little video gamey to me. So I nuked my Animal Crossing New Leaf Town, and I've started New Leaf over. And I am so happy. I'm playing it every night. I'm collecting bugs and fish.
Did
and
you
shells.
Do this time of year? Is it winter there?
Well, it's still fall.
Oh, okay.
So it'll be winter soon. Cool. And man, New Leaf. Playing that and Pocket Camp back to back, really showed me where Pocket Camp missed the mark.
Yep. New Leaf is hardcore.
So the difference is it's really fuzzy and imprecise, and it doesn't put you at the center of the game. In Pocket Camp, everything orbits around you, whereas in New Leaf, life just goes on whether you're there or not. Yeah. And I bought something from that shady art dealer, Red, and he's like, okay, I'll deliver this to you tomorrow. It'll show up in the mail tomorrow. And then I'm checking my mail, waiting for it to come up. Whereas in Pocket Camp, it's like, okay, in 11 hours, your couch will be ready. It's very precise and gamey. And New Leaf doesn't have any of that. Okay, check back tomorrow. The island will be open, and that's it. You're just left.
And you just change the clock, and you're there.
Well, see, I'm trying to do it legit.
All right.
And then I have
speaking of legitimacy, Damon, I hear you beat the final level of Mario Odyssey.
Yeah, oh. I did. I hey, I got the last moon.
It's really hard.
I wouldn't say I beat it. I got the moon for the darker side. The Darker Side Challenge. I got the moon for it.
What a bug.
Did you do it the legit way, or did you do that?
No.
Oh, there's a legit way?
No, there's a skip going around for the darker side.
It's amazing.
It is amazing. And I had attempted the darker side a few times, and I was just like, nope, I have no interest in punishing myself this way. I had resigned myself to never getting those last three moons. But some folks in the office, like Sam and Andrew, I know, spent hours and hours actually getting through it. And
instead of fighting with my family, I fought with Mario.
And when they reported back to me how long and grueling it was, I was like, I made the right choice not to bother myself.
And then 5 minutes later, he had those three moons.
Yeah. When I learned about the skip, there's a we have a video of it on IGN. There's a bunch of videos making the rounds. There's a way to possess a frog, and through a quick little trick, you can just swim.
You swim through the air instead
of through
space.
Water.
Through space, yeah.
And totally bypass. Through the void. That whole mean last level, and it was great.
It's cool that Nintendo
no regrets.
Nintendo made a level where it's like the hardest. You have to. It's this excruciatingly hard level, but it's all within a warp pipe, and the warp pipe comes out in a different area. So you can just go to that other warp pipe if you use this trick, because it's really far away.
It's so it's really funny that you start at one warp pipe, go down, do the whole level, and then come up, but you just zip right over.
And they didn't put an invisible wall there or anything. But I think it'll come. If they patch it.
They'll patch an invisible wall.
Now's the time to cheat and tell all your friends you did
they're
going to
patch it, because they've patched out similar things out of Breath of the Wild when Nintendo hears about it.
So. I also just real quick want to give a shout out. I'm also catching up on Night in the Woods. I didn't play it earlier this year.
Apparently that's
dude,
an
did
awesome
you get to
game.
The band scene yet? Or the
I hear there's a really few. Cool. It's kind of like you return to that theme.
Okay, you go to shows.
The game. Yeah. And I really, I've kind of not loved, I was so on Oxenfree and sort of the adventure-based sort of walking around talking to people games, to me, this one's really captured me, and I really love it in a way that the other ones I wasn't as interested in.
I need to check that one out.
And it's such a perfect counterpoint to Wolfenstein, by the way. So it's bopping back and forth.
Because it's about a cat, and Wolfenstein's about a wolf.
Mm. Yeah.
Although there is a cat in the new Colossus. Kind of a cat thing.
Well.
Well,
let's not get into that. Okay. It's half cat, right?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Oh, boy.
Half cat. Hat. Anecdotally, I was in I was in Tokyo last week. That part's not anecdotal, but anecdotally, as I explored Tokyo, I only saw two video game ads in the whole city. One was for a new mobile game called Destiny Child, not the possessive. It's called Destiny Child.
Destiny Child.
And the other ads were for Super Mario Odyssey.
You can't keep getting away with this.
I didn't see anything for PS4. Certainly nothing for Xbox. Thought that was interesting. What was our warning?
10 minutes left.
10 minutes. We got to get into our video game 20 questions.
Plenty of time.
Yeah. But first, a quick anecdote. I learned something new when I was in Tokyo. This is important information that I feel like they should tell you when you go to Japan.
Scoop.
But I never knew this. We go out to dinner. We go to a yakiniku restaurant on Thanksgiving night, so we want to have a nicer meal. Mm-hmm. There's four of us. We wanted to order a bottle of sake for all of us. We're trying to tell the waitstaff, who didn't speak any English, we're trying to say, order a bottle of sake. They had no idea what they were saying. What we were saying. We were so confused. We said we want a big bottle of sake for us all to share. Everyone. Please, or a carafe of sake, and they were so they walked away. The waitress would talk to the owner, and she'd come back, and she brought one highball drink, a mixed drink, to the table, which is the vodka or a whiskey soda, basically. Yeah. That wasn't what we wanted. They could not figure it out. Anyway, we met up with a friend of ours that lives in Japan and is fluent in Japanese, and we explained this story to him, and he just laughed because, as it turns out, in Japan, sake just means alcohol.
Oh no!
So it means something very specific to us, but not in Japanese. So we were asking them, "We want a big bottle of alcohol for us all to share." I feel like they should tell you that when you listen, you're going to Japan. Hey, heads up! Well, Nihonshin is like Japanese wine.
Okay.
Which I guess I knew, but I never knew that sake didn't mean sake specifically in Japan.
Oh,
so that's a pro tip when you go to Japan.
It's like a Japanese man coming here and saying one beer, just a beer.
Well,
give me beer.
You can do that in Japan too.
So, how was your giant alcohol?
I mean, the highball was good, but it's
alcohol. Alcohol. No. Like
a big bottle of
alcohol.
Sake means something very specific to us, not to the Japanese.
Okay.
And that brings us to video game 20 questions. Our suggestion this week comes from Jordan Gibson. Let the questioning begin.
You're just waiting for me to do something real silly. Yeah, okay. I'll just stick with the old reliable.
Mm-hmm.
Does your character wear a hat?
I really don't think so. I don't think there's any way that would happen.
It's not Mario or Zelda.
It would be hard for this character to wear a hat. Is this from before 1990?
No.
Is your character a human being?
That's what I was going to ask.
Let's say yes.
Why don't you just say yes? Why let's say yes?
It's not 100% clear, but I think...
Could be a squid.
Yeah.
A goth android like in Nier?
Yeah.
Is it from before January 1st, 2000?
Yes.
90s game.
Was this on a Nintendo console?
No. That's five.
Was this exclusive to a console?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm.
PlayStation or Sega?
Yeah.
Or Dreamcast? Oh, no, Sega counts as Dreamcast. That's right. Was this on a Sega system?
No.
All right.
So, well, I wish... Okay. I mean, we need to burn a question to confirm. Is this a PS1 game?
Yes.
PS1 exclusive. Let's say as a human...
Yeah.
No, we asked if it's an exclusive. We specifically asked that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
PS1 exclusive where you maybe play as a human and you almost don't play as a hat. Mm-hmm. Damon's pretty sure you play as a human.
Yeah.
Is this a Japanese developed game?
Yes.
Okay. Do you use a gun as your main weapon in this game?
Yes.
Ooh.
That's 10.
Are there sequels?
No.
Is this a first-party game? Did Sony develop this game?
No.
Third-party PS1 exclusive where you use a gun. So it's Japanese. I guess we can ask if it's an FPS, but almost certainly not since it's Japanese made and it was on the PS1.
It was PS1, yeah. It just doesn't have that much.
Siphon Filter was developed in the West and got a bunch of sequels.
Hats are not ambiguous in that game.
I don't know if hats are ambiguous in Siphon Filter.
Would this have a realistic graphical style?
Mm. In that era, I have a hard time.
Let's Siphon Filter
parsing
this,
that.
Or Resident Evil.
Very good point.
That's hard to say for this type of game.
So we're gonna get a pass on that.
Yeah, we'll just pass that one.
All right. For this type of game, what could it be?
Does this?
That's a big clue.
Does this game take place in modern Earth?
No.
But you do use guns, so maybe older Earth, but not like Medal of Honor, because they all got sequels and stuff like that, and it's not Japanese made. It could be fantasy guns or sci-fi guns.
Yeah, it's like a space shooter is what I'm leaning towards
space guns.
Here.
Could be space guns.
Is this a shooter?
Well, tell me what you...
A shoot-em-up, sorry.
A shoot-em-up, yes.
Okay, so we can get this. Well, actually, I can't name a single shoot-em-up on PlayStation, so you can get this.
Well, but Damon likes all the weird ones. He liked this is too late, but, Ikaruga and all those.
Ikaruga too late?
Ikaruga's GameCube, yeah, and Dreamcast.
Okay.
But stuff like, what's the one, like Radiant Silver Gun?
That sounds like a good one.
That's a good one that maybe Damon would pick.
Is that a PlayStation 1 game?
I don't know. That's where I'm a little bit... I mean, I know the genre decently.
Do you know any PlayStation 1 shooters?
Not like that, no. we're getting closer and closer to my unknown zone.
And that is Japanese made. I don't even know enough about... I never owned it. I don't even know enough how to, like... Are you in a mecha suit?
No.
I think you are in Radiant Silver Gun. Maybe you're not. That was a useless question.
Are you in a spaceship?
It eliminated Omega Boost.
You're asking if you're in a spaceship? Yes.
That's a really good question.
So... But it's just a spaceship shooter, but I don't think we know it.
But all the ones I can think of are like Gradius 5 and like...
Yeah, R-Type.
That might have been PS2.
And he said there's no sequels.
No sequels. One-off. One-off space shooter. So like again, it's like an Ikaruga.
Exclusive, one-off space
shooter. But on PS1.
Panzer Dragoon is Dreamcast?
Yeah, and it got one sequel at least.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a really good guess. You're on a dragon, and you're not in a spaceship. Sin and Punishment is the one I was trying to think of.
That's 64, though.
Yep.
But I think that company Treasure?
And that got a sequel, too.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Is that Treasure that makes that? Something like that. Well, anyway, I was going to say if we can name the company, I might be able to pull it out, but I just don't know. I would say that whatever one you said, Radiant Silvergun, would be my best.
I only have a vague idea. I never owned it.
And we had that big book of shooters here last week. Mm-hmm. So that's too bad.
Is this game made by Square?
Yes.
I think Radiant Silvergun's made.
Great. That's awesome.
Do you guys care?
Yeah, go for it.
Is this Radiant Silvergun?
No.
Oh! What? We were all so confident. We were like, yeah, do it. You got it.
I don't have a second guess.
This might be the very first time we failed from an incorrect guess. I don't think that's ever happened.
Einhander.
Oh.
Einhander is the one shoot 'em up that Square has ever developed.
Oh, it hurts my heart.
Yeah. We'll get there. Einhander, developed by Square, published by Sony.
We only have 2 minutes and 46 seconds.
We've lost from incorrect guesses, but only when we were just tossing out a random 20. Yeah. I don't think we've ever lost this way.
You had a few guesses.
I'm going to be honest.
I wouldn't have gotten that. So.
That feels...
And you did know Einhander?
Well, I mean...
Einhander is excellent.
Yeah. It's in the same... It's in that same, that mind closet of, like, Einhander and Radiant Silvergun and Sin and Punishment. I throw all those games in the same corner of my brain.
Yeah, there was, like, a period in the late 90s when Square was experimenting with other different genres outside of JRPGs.
That's so cool.
And there was Einhander one is one of them.
Polygonal, PS1 schmucks.
Yeah. 1998, and it's fantastic shooter. And it's crazy that it's hard to play that game today, and there's never a sequel. So, mm-hmm. A really good one. Einhander. Check that one out. Real quick before we go, we got some awesome envelope art this week.
It's so cool.
Breath of the Wild. Maybe we can get the close-up shot there. Yeah, it's so good. This one comes from Canada.
That's not close. I think I want to go get it closer. Is it going to be out of focus?
Yeah, well, you want to take it up there? Yeah. See if you can, how close
you got to go to the red dot.
Oh, it's getting out of focus. Maybe I'll take a photo of it. I'll put it up there real quick.
I think that worked fine.
Renee sent a letter. I love that you're bringing back envelope art. I never got to participate back in those days. So this is a longtime trophy achieved. I'm waiting for my Switch to come in.
Blink.
I failed at convincing myself I didn't need this generation of Nintendo console. Don't know what game I'm more excited for, but something dawned on me. Are you more excited when it comes to Switch games for new iterations of longstanding series or for new IPs?
We'll have to save that question. I think we're out of time.
Yeah. Well, we have a minute left. I mean,
both.
Yeah.
What's the question?
Both. You want new iterations of longstanding series or new IPs on your Switch?
You know, as much as I love all of the Nintendo classic series out there, not all of them, but most of them.
You hate Pikmin.
Yeah, I'm just not a Pikmin guy. No, I actually do love Pikmin.
I thought that was the thing.
No, I love Pikmin. Not so much a Kirby guy. I don't hate Kirby, but I'm
Nintendo's new IPs would be really interesting. Always. I always want to see those.
The new IPs, like what we've seen come out of them with ARMS, even though I know it's not the most popular thing, mm-hmm. I still think that it's such an interesting concept for a fighting game. So, I mean,
each his own if you like.
Yeah,
they've always been so cool. Cool.
More than capable of coming up with some of the most unique ideas when it comes to game design and different concepts that we haven't seen before. So
yeah, Splatoon was a new idea at one point as well. So hey,
dude, yeah, you got to take a picture of that and include it in the.
I will.
It's so impressive. Thank you so much. Yep. What was it, Renee?
Renee.
It's really really dope. Yeah. Thank you.
This is great. And if you have your own envelope art, send them to GameScoop's attention, 625 2nd Street, 4th floor, San Francisco, California, 94107. That is all the scoops that we have for you this week. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Philip.
Thank you.
My name is Damon. This is IGN GameScoop, and we're out.
We're flying high, it's passing us by. Reach out. sound so far away. You should have seen it coming. You found out yesterday.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.